This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we do appreciate those of you who've taken the time to tune in to watch today. Now, some of you may be watching for the very first time, and we'd like for you to stay tuned. Now, I have an interesting topic today. We're going to talk about the bridge. The bridge. Please stay tuned as we discuss that today. Now, on our telecast, we offer a free Bible course. And I emphasize it's free, and we want you to stay tuned. So while we pause briefly, for you to learn more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Back in 1970, Simon and Garfunkel had the song that was very popular, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. There are many other recording artists who have sang that song, recorded that song. But even today, it's still a very popular song, A Bridge Over Troubled Waters. You know, bridges are part of American history, especially covered bridges. And they're dotted all across America, and they're reminders of a day gone by. There were a lot of purposes for covered bridges. But first of all, those bridges would span a stream of water and give you safe passage from one side to the other. But also, just suppose you're out in your horse and buggy back in the old days, and it begins to rain, it begins to snow. And so you can get in that covered bridge and you have some protection. And I've talked to some people who lived back in the day when those bridges were very common. And they tell me that some of those bridges were places of some courting that went on. And that boys would hide in the rafters of those bridges if they knew a young boy and girl were going to be coming through. And they would surprise them. And what a surprise, no doubt, that was. Bridges. The purpose of bridges today are to span chasms. Bridges are used to span rivers, streams of water. And there are some pretty big, long, massive bridges that have been built. But that's not what we're talking about today when we talk about the bridge. That there is a bridge that's needed for mankind that spans time into eternity. And that's Jesus. If you want to use the title of Simon and Garfunkel's song, Jesus is the bridge over troubled waters. Why do we need a bridge? What's the purpose of it? We need a bridge because there is a great divide that exists between God and man. That there is this divide that needs to be spanned in some way for man to be able to get across that divide to God. And the thing that has caused that divide is man's sin. In Isaiah 59, the Lord said through the prophet, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Sin is what separates people from God. Why, sin is a great separator. It separates families. It separates friends. Sin separates nations. It divides nations. Sin separates churches. But of course, sin separates a man from God. Thus, there is the need for a bridge for a man to cross over this great divide to God. The bridge is needed also because man cannot do this alone. Man cannot, on his own works and ingenuity, build a bridge that would be adequate enough to get from where he is to God. Man cannot save himself, in other words. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself." It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. So you see, a bridge is needed because a man cannot bridge this chasm alone. And a bridge is needed because we cannot stay where we are forever. We're not going to remain in this world. We're headed into eternity. And you and I want to spend eternity with God. Solomon in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes said that man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. Folks, man is on his way into his long eternal home. And in order that we might live with God in eternity, we need a bridge. We need a way to cross this chasm, this great divide created by sin that exists between God and man. Well, the text that I've just read to you tells us how we bridge that chasm, how Jesus Christ became the bridge over the troubled waters of sin. And I want us to read Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 again. I want us to think about this passage and what the passage is telling us. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. The cross of Jesus Christ looms before us. And it is the cross of Jesus Christ that is the bridge that takes man from earth to heaven. And there is no other bridge. There is no other way. Notice the text. Paul said, "He gave himself for us." Who gave himself? Jesus did not give gold and silver. He did not give animals. He did not give us a moral code. He did not give us some kind of a political scheme. Jesus Christ gave himself. He was so unselfish. He was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of us. And so Jesus Christ emptied himself in the form of a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes about that. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was so you and I might be reconciled with God, that we might be at one with God, and one day be at home with God. Now think about Jesus gave himself. Jesus gave himself willingly. Jesus said, I lay down my life. Jesus did that willingly. Jesus gave himself humbly. Jesus Christ emptied himself in the form of a servant. Jesus Christ was a servant of the race. Jesus Christ came into this world not to be weighed upon hand and foot, but he came to serve, and he served by going to the cross and dying for us. He gave himself willingly. He gave himself silently. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, Isaiah said that he opened not his mouth. And then Jesus Christ gave himself for all time. He died once as a sacrifice for the human family. Hebrews 9 and 12 says that Jesus Christ entered into the holy place one time for the sins of all mankind. And so Jesus Christ gave himself. He gave himself. And then he says he gave himself for our sins. He did not give himself for his sins because he had none. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He was without sin. And yet Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, as an atonement for our sins. And that's very humbling to know. If you want to put it into perspective, Jesus Christ gave himself for my sins. Sometimes we sing the song, What Can Wash Away My Sins? Think about that statement, that question. What can wash away my sins? He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for my sins. He gave himself for all sin. He gave himself for all sinners. He died to save all sinners. And the Bible reads in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. And then notice in this passage, he gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us. That he might deliver us. And I want you to know the Lord is the great deliverer. He can deliver you from a bad habit. Maybe you have some bad habits. Habits that you could not recommend to your children. Habits that you could not recommend to your best friend. And so he can deliver you from habits that we ought not to have. He can deliver us from unchristian attitudes. Attitudes that are not good. Attitudes that are repulsive to God. He can deliver you from that. And the book of Titus, in the third chapter of Titus, Paul is talking about what the way people had lived in times past. And sometimes the way we have lived is not the way we should be living today. Notice in verse number 3 of Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish. He can deliver you from that. Disobedient. He can deliver you from that. Deceived. Serving divers lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Those are attitudes. He can deliver you from that. Hateful. Some people just are hateful. Their attitudes are hateful attitudes. Hateful and hating one another. You see, He can deliver you from all kinds of sins. He can deliver you from darkness. As a matter of fact, in Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, who delivered us from darkness has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so we're delivered from darkness, and we're delivered and transformed into the light, into the kingdom of light. He can deliver us from the crippling doctrines of men. All one must do is to adhere to the doctrine of Christ. Whoso ever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He can deliver us. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us. Well, deliver us from what? He said, deliver us from this present evil world. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's what Paul had in mind in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. When he wrote that the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In this present world. Jesus Christ went to the cross that He might deliver us from this present evil world. In Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And so Jesus Christ came to die on the cross as that bridge over troubled waters. We're not to love this old world. As a matter of fact, in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil world. In 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so Jesus Christ came as the bridge between God and man to get us to heaven one day, and He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Folks, this world is not our home. I've often said the Christian has two addresses. He has an earthly address, and he has a heavenly address. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of another world. And all we're doing on this earth as Christians is just passing through. Now go back to the passage. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of God. In John 4:34, Christ said, I am come down from heaven. I came not to do my own will, rather, but the will of him that sent me. In John 6:38, Jesus said, I'm come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus came into the world for the express purpose of carrying out the will of God. You remember in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was in the garden praying, and Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The cup of suffering, the cross was looming before Jesus. And he's praying, I want, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done, Father. And Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of God. What was that will? The will of God was that Jesus Christ would die upon the cross of Calvary. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that he, by the grace of God, tasted of death for every man. Jesus Christ died for the sins of every human being. Jesus became the sin substitute. Jesus became the sin offering. Jesus became the sacrifice. Jesus became that Passover lamb for the sins of all mankind. John 1:29 says, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Listen to it. And with his stripes, we're healed. It was because Jesus died on that cross, you and I have the hope of going to heaven one day and being with God throughout all eternity. And Jesus Christ came to do the will of God. And the will of God was that he die on that cross, that he would die for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ was buried after he died on that cross, raised from the dead by the power of God Almighty, and then he was exalted to the right hand of God. In Ephesians 1:19 and following, Paul said, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God. He's at God's right hand at this very moment in time. And Jesus Christ died on that cross to be your Savior, to be your bridge over the troubled waters of sin. I want you to think with me about the cross. It is the cross of Christ and the cross only that can get you to the other side, to be with God eternally. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody says, well, I think that one way is good as another. Let me read it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there is no other way for an individual to get from this world to the next world and to be with God eternally without the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of what it was like to die on that cross? Can you imagine the anguish and the agony and the pain Jesus felt when they beat him in the judgment hall until his back was just a bloody mass? His back looked like an ocean of blood. And then he was made to even carry his own cross out to the place that he was going to be, where he'd be crucified. But we're told that he fell beneath the weight of that cross. A man by the name of Simon was made to carry that cross out to Golgotha and try to envision those Roman soldiers beginning to drive nails, almost spikes, as nearly as big as a railroad spike, into the flesh of the Son of God. His hands are fastened. His feet are fastened to that cross. Picture him with a crown of thorns on his head. Thorns. I flinch if I get a little splinter in my finger. Can you imagine a crown of thorns on your head? Can you imagine being on that cross, hanging on that cross, nails in your hands and nails in your feet? Your body is sagging with the weight of that, with your body weight on that cross. Can you begin to imagine the suffering and the anguish? Why did he endure all of that? He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He's your friend. Would you not become a Christian today? By believing on Jesus, by repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith in Christ, and by being baptized into Christ, that your sins be washed away in Jesus' precious blood. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I want to thank you for watching today. May I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, please pick up the phone and call for the brief Bible course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you until we meet again.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.com. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.